When Julius Caesar crossed the Rubicon in 49 BCE, he uttered "Alea Iacta Est," the die is cast, and transformed Western civilization forever. This moment marked the death of the Roman Republic and birthed an imperial system that would shape European politics for millennia. Suetonius, The Twelve Caesars, offers us the most intimate, scandalous portrait of these rulers who wielded unprecedented power. From Augustus' masterful political maneuvering to Nero's artistic delusions, these figures continue to fascinate us precisely because they reveal timeless human dramas of ambition, corruption, and the intoxicating effects of absolute power. What makes these accounts so compelling is their unflinching portrayal of both greatness and depravity. These weren't distant figureheads, but deeply flawed individuals whose personal quirks and psychological damage shaped an empire. Caesar addressed his troops as comrades rather than soldiers. Augustus wore clothes woven by female relatives despite ruling the known world. Caligula appointed his horse as a consul. Through these details, we see how power magnifies both virtues and vices to extraordinary proportions. Julius Caesar embodied political genius, military brilliance, and personal charisma. Born to an ancient but impoverished family claiming divine descent, his early life featured narrow escapes and bold gambles. When dictator Sulla ordered him to divorce his wife, Caesar's defiant refusal nearly cost him his life, instilling in him an urgent drive for greatness. His Gallic campaigns made him popular with common Romans, but threatening to the Senate. Despite suffering from epilepsy, he accomplished extraordinary physical feats, swimming across rivers with one hand held above water to protect his papers. His assassination in 44 BCE came after he had accumulated powers that effectively ended the Republic. With his final words, "You too, my child?" upon seeing Brutus among his attackers, Caesar's dramatic sensibility persisted even in death. While Caesar created the opportunity for one-man rule, his grandnephew Augustus transformed it into a lasting system. Physically frail and only 18 when Caesar died, Augustus outmaneuvered more experienced rivals through political cunning and determination. His genius lay in dismantling the Republic while preserving its outward forms, allowing Romans to believe their ancient liberties remained while power concentrated in his hands. Tiberius, Augustus's successor, exemplifies power's corrupting influence. A brilliant military commander who secured Rome's northern frontiers, his rise was marked by personal humiliation when Augustus forced him to divorce his beloved wife to marry the emperor's daughter, eventually driving him to self-imposed exile in Rhodes. Upon becoming emperor at 55, Tiberius initially showed promise, rejecting excessive honors and practicing financial restraint. "A good shepherd shears his sheep, but does not flay them," he declared. However, after his son's death, he retreated to Capri, relying on Sejanus while allegedly indulging in depraved acts and having victims thrown from cliffs into the sea. Caligula's reign began even more promisingly. Nicknamed Little Boot from his childhood among troops, Rome celebrated when he became emperor at 24. For 6 months, he seemed ideal, recalling exiles, abolishing treason trials, and distributing funds generously. Then came his transformation. Caligula declared himself divine, replacing god statues' heads with his own. He forced parents to watch their sons' executions and turned torture into dinner entertainment. His wish that the Roman people had a single neck to cut revealed how thoroughly power had corrupted him. History's most improbable emperor, Claudius, was dismissed by his family as an embarrassment due to physical disabilities, likely caused by cerebral palsy. His mother called him a monster of a man, not finished but merely begun by Dame Nature. When the Praetorian Guard found the 50-year-old scholar hiding after Caligula's assassination, they made him emperor, expecting a puppet. They were wrong. Despite his limitations, Claudius proved effective, conquering Britain, building Ostia's harbor, constructing aqueducts, and expanding citizenship to provincials. His personal life, however, proved disastrous. His wife Messalina's infidelities became legendary, while his final wife Agrippina poisoned him with mushrooms to secure the throne for her son Nero. Nero achieved unprecedented infamy. Initially guided by Seneca, the teenage emperor showed early promise before succumbing to artistic pretensions and megalomania. He fancied himself a divine performer, established competitions where he performed, and forced guarded audiences to endure his shows. During Rome's Great Fire of 64 CE, Nero allegedly watched from a tower while singing about Troy's destruction in costume. He seized the disaster as an opportunity to build his golden house, a palace containing a 120-foot statue of himself. To deflect blame, he persecuted Christians, having them torn apart by dogs or used as human torches. Before committing suicide amid spreading revolts, he lamented, "What an artist dies in me." The year of four emperors, 68 to 69 CE, ended when Vespasian, a career military man from a modest background, established the Flavian dynasty. Unlike aristocratic predecessors, Vespasian was unpretentious and practical, having risen through military service rather than family connections. As emperor, he balanced the budget through new taxes, including his famous urinal tax that prompted "money doesn't stink," reformed the army, and built the Colosseum on land Nero had seized, symbolically returning space to public use. His humor persisted until death when he joked, "Dear me, I think I'm becoming a god," mocking imperial deification. His son Titus, already serving as virtual co-ruler, succeeded smoothly. Despite earlier scandals, including his affair with Jewish princess Berenice, Titus governed admirably during his brief reign, responding generously to disasters like Vesuvius eruption. The dynasty ended with Domitian, who began as a capable administrator but grew increasingly paranoid and autocratic, demanding to be addressed as Lord and God before his assassination in 96 CE. Through these 12 biographies, patterns emerge that remain relevant to understanding leadership in any era. Absolute power transforms individuals. Augustus evolved from brutal warlord to model of restraint, while initially promising rulers like Caligula and Nero descended into tyranny. Unchecked authority magnifies existing character traits, whether virtuous or vicious. The Caesars demonstrate the crucial importance of succession planning. Augustus groomed Tiberius for a smooth transition, while Caligula's assassination created dangerous power vacuums. The best emperors recognized the need to maintain institutional forms despite holding absolute power. The worst treated Rome as personal property, ignoring traditional constraints. Most rulers became increasingly isolated and paranoid over time. Without honest feedback or constraints, their decision-making deteriorated. Even capable Tiberius eventually retreated to Capri, governing through intermediaries rather than facing reality. Caligula making his horse a consul or Nero performing while Rome burns aren't merely ancient eccentricities. They represent fundamental governance challenges that persist today. In our age of strongman leaders and democratic backsliding, these portraits remain disturbingly relevant. They remind us that institutions constraining power are fragile, personality can override policy, and promising leaders can be corrupted by power's intoxication. Two millennia later, these 12 Caesars still serve as cautionary tales about the thin line between civilization and tyranny.